Welcome to a new edition of the Famous Interviews with Joe Domino series. On this episode, we talk with brand storyteller Shannon Peel. She talked to us about COVID life, completing 100 podcast episodes in 100 days for her podcast, Brand Appeal, and her job, helping professionals define their brand stories and tell them in a marketplace to guide audiences from awareness to customers. She has great stories and insights. Enjoy this interview.
Well, hey, thanks for taking a minute out today. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
Do me a favor before we begin here. I mean, I know I read your bio, I read about you, but just in your words, tell me what you do.
So basically what I do is I tell brand stories to the marketplace. I have a platform that's a multimedia platform where people can come and find solutions to help them create an appealing life, career, or business, as well as where thought leaders can come and share their experience and solutions to connect with people who are looking for them.
My question now in this modern world that we've lived in for the last couple of years, you know, we're obviously coming out of the pandemic, but COVID kind of turned everything upside down. What did COVID do for you, not only as a business model, but as a person? How did you have to change and adapt?
Well, COVID for me was actually really a good thing because I was able to focus on my business and it removed me from certain people who were taking my energy and my time with it without it being a benefit to me. So it really gave me a time to focus, to create, and I ended up, you know, I live alone, so I ended up alone for a lot of time and I'm having a harder time transitioning back into the world, actually. It was a lot easier for me to leave the world than it is for me to go back into it.
You know, I hear so many stories like this where, you know, there's been kind of this refocus on things where it gave people some clarity they didn't have before. I almost think there's a level of this that happened that gave everybody a needed pause because the world's moving so fast.
Mm-hmm. It did. And especially if you think about, and just remember what it was like when no cars were on the road, what it was like when everybody was deciding or figuring out how to live at home, and the community. I'm not sure about where you were, but here, people at 7 o'clock would start at 6 o'clock banging pots out the window in support of the healthcare workers. And other people were sharing things on social media where they were connecting with others and really figuring out this thing called community that in the day-to-day world that we live in, we just ignore. Like a lot of times we think, oh, I'm going to have coffee with a friend. And then next thing you know, you look on Facebook and their kids are 10 years older and you still haven't had coffee.
It's so true. So I'm in Kansas City, Missouri. Where are you located?
I'm located in Vancouver, Canada.
Okay. All right. So, you know, the one thing that I noticed, you know, I interview a lot of musicians, and when this was really raging back, and I would say May of 2020, I was interviewing somebody, I believe they were in Brazil, and it got real, real loud, and they were apologizing. They said, sorry, you know, everybody's on the balcony cheering on the healthcare workers. I said, don't apologize. Put that phone out there. I want to hear it. And
yeah,
it was pretty triumphant because I think that's a part of it. I was stuck in 9/11. In Venice, and when I finally came home, I had a completely different flight home, but I remember when we landed in the plane, there was a applause that started in the back of the plane and moved all the way up to the front, and it was like the 16th of September. Those kinds of things bring people together, and this calamity is definitely brought, and that's the key word, I think, is community.
It is. I mean, we started doing more global networking, utilizing this platform called Lunch Club. And I was meeting people from all over the world. Like you said, you were talking to someone in Brazil, and they were doing the same thing as we were doing here in Vancouver with the pots. The one thing I noticed with talking to people is it gave the world a common experience that we can all connect on. So even if you don't know anything else about a person from across the world and you're talking to them, you can always ask them what it was like during COVID.
Yeah, and I think that it was kind of a shared thing with silver linings, but it was also a shared trauma. There was a musician at one point after this started. He was a big musician that canceled everything. You know, artists, everything just fell away within the matter of days. And he was kind of talking, that metaphorically speaking, that this was like cancer. You know, we all got diagnosed, and we all got it. We had to go through treatment, and now we're going through remission and dealing with all of the stages. And I think there's a lot of that, but it's like, you know, in our lifetimes, I know in mine, I'll be 50 this year, it's like there was nothing this magnanimous. I mean, the only thing that I can think of that would be akin to this would be the World War, and that still wasn't the whole globe, you know. So it's quite an event.
Yeah, and it was different back then as well, because, you know, my family was in Western Canada during both World Wars, and it was just very different. You know, they weren't actually in the war, but they were, I mean, I've heard stories of what it was like here when they were younger. And although you had everyone was watching the news, it would have been more like what's happening in the Ukraine right now, or what happened with 9/11. You watch it on the news, you read about it, but it's not affecting your life specifically, in that maybe you have to change a few things because gas prices have gone up, or, you know, groceries cost more, but your day-to-day doesn't change. Even with 9/11, it was the same thing, unless you lived in New York. This changed everything for everyone across the globe. Even people that were having to go to work, it changed the way they worked. Even if they were going in to work in the grocery stores and the restaurants and all those things, it changed the way they work. It changed how they interacted with people, how they felt about germs, how they felt about sickness, and it just brought things to people's minds that they didn't have before. And then for people like me, who like, you know, being on our own, it was very isolating. And for some people, that is a real issue. Was a real issue, and we had a lot more suicides because of the isolation. And then for those people who are like me, who are like, "Yeah, this is great," we have a harder time transitioning back into the world.
So I'm curious, with what you do with your life right now, going back to the beginnings of your life, what dreams did you have? What kind of childhood did you have that led to what you're doing right now?
Well, I grew up in rural BC, kind of on a mountain and a mountain lake. So, you know, we didn't have a lot of TV. You know, we had two channels, and my parents were very restricted about how much time we could actually spend in front of the TV. And then for 3 months of the year, we lived in a place that didn't have running water or indoor plumbing. So there was no TV. There was no, we didn't even get a phone out there until I was 16. And the only reason we got a phone is because my parents were tired of me running down to the resort in order to get on the payphone. So, you know, I grew up in a time where I was alone a lot, and story was the main thing that we had because we read a lot. There was always lots of books, and the only thing to do was read. And then any time that I spent with myself doing other things, I would focus on what I was doing by telling myself a story. So a lot of the things that you see on YouTube nowadays where people are telling people how to do this and how to do that, I was doing that, but without filming myself as I grew up. I went to university, and I wanted to be a lot of things, but a writer was one of the things that I always wanted to be, and a journalist was one of the things that I always wanted to be. But a journalist I had spent a day with told me that I wouldn't make a good journalist because I didn't ask any questions. So I wasn't really understanding that he wasn't understanding that I didn't have to ask questions to understand what was going on because of the way I am an observer, and I understand, have a high comprehension level, and I get things really, really quickly. And I thought that he was, you know, telling me that I was no good at asking questions and this and that. So I didn't go into that. And then I ended up in finance, and then I ended up in sales, and I ended up in selling advertising. I wanted to go into advertising, but we don't really have that kind of place here where I live. You know, that's back east. If you want to work in an advertising agency, it was, you know, there were, digital marketing was just coming out. So I was selling advertising for different companies in regional offices. And when my life fell apart, when I was 40 and I ended up divorced and a whole bunch of other stuff happened, I started writing for the first time, like seriously writing. And I wrote a couple novels and I really enjoyed it. And then when I lost my job, I couldn't find another one, and I was finding it very, very hard to get another one. And as a single mom, and I'd already gone through a lot of other stuff, so I was in a really bad place, so I can understand why I wasn't getting hired. And in the end, it just made sense for me to go out on my own and do my own thing. Now, I thought I was going to just go and be a marketing assistant for maybe five different people and work for each one day a week, and that didn't happen. So over time, I have just created this website, and it just keeps going and going. And then with all the different platforms and how things were going with clients and stuff, I just decided that I would rather build a platform where people can come, tell stories, get the credibility that they need as thought leaders, and ask those questions, draw those stories out of them, and provide a platform where people can come to find the solutions they're looking for through story in order to create an appealing life, career, or business. So that's how all that worked.
So I'm curious, as a writer and someone that's obviously moved by story and word, what was your favorite book, growing up?
Oh, my goodness. Favorite book growing up. In the end, my favorite book of all time is Jane Eyre. I really identify with the character, not as a as an orphan, but just as an independent woman who doesn't need anyone to make it in this world. So that I really identified with her when studying her book and or the book and stuff like that.
Who do you admire? Who would you consider heroes? People that may inspire you to be who you are?
A very few of those. You know, when I think back in my life, like family and stuff, you know, I have one grandmother who was a career woman before career woman was a thing. You know, my mom was a very strong woman who had a very successful business. You know, but I had another grandmother who was a stay-at-home mom, and she was an amazing mom, and I learned a lot from her how to be a better mom. When it comes to the world out there, you know, it takes a special person. I know one person who, Anthony Grupo, who is a CEO, or just retired as CEO, and he's a servant leader, and he's just one of those types of leaders that I think the world needs more of in order to be a better place. And so, you know, things people like him, Angelina Jolie, for living the life that she believed in and doing good where she felt that she needed it. So those are kind of the people that I look up to.
If you could meet anybody alive on the planet today, who would you like to meet and talk to for a little bit?
You know what? Arianna Huffington, probably, because I'm trying to do the, you know, she's done what I want to do, right? And it would be just wonderful to listen to how she got there and the lessons that she learned along the way. I mean, I've listened to her book. I know that, you know, she's gone into this whole sleep thing because she had overworked herself into exhaustion. But, you know, and just the other things, like how did you do it and what kind of things can I learn, that kind of stuff. So,
what's been the best compliment that you've gotten on the work that you've done? Fan reaction, client reaction, what sticks out?
My goodness, there's been a couple. You know what? I interviewed Anthony Grupo for my podcast, and you know, he said that I was one of the most productive human beings he knows, and that my intellect is really high and just really smart, and I'm one of his favorite people. So, you know, that really meant a lot to me, and I am so happy that he was my 100th guest when I did 100 episodes in 100 days. So
that's wonderful. So, you know, speaking of doing interviews and podcasting, I know I have my perspective on it, but from your perspective, and I'm learning more and more being in this community of podcasts,
yes,
how much it affects everybody. What is it that you get from this that you enjoy so much?
Well, you know, because I did 100 podcasts in 100 days, I really dove deep into podcasting. And I really enjoyed talking to the people that I talk to, asking them the questions, drawing out their stories, and drawing out their expertise so that my listeners could learn from them actionable steps that they could then go and do for them, for themselves and their own brand storytelling. What I find, I mean, I've found some people that are amazing, and I'm hope to keep in touch with them, but I found that a lot of people are just so busy. They come onto these podcasts, they do their thing, and then they drop off the face of the earth. And I really want to build that community around the podcast and around the site where people can interact with my guests, and my guests can build their own, you know, their own communities with on it. But it's hard to find those people, and it's hard to find the right people. But, you know, you find people, you talk to them, you learn amazing things, and hopefully some will stick and some won't, and that's all that there is to it.
Let me kind of ask you this. You know, if you have a dream tonight and you run into your 20-year-old version of yourself and you could give your younger version one piece of advice based on what you've learned, the wisdom that you've learned over all these years, what would you tell your younger version?
Leave him after the second kid is born. Don't stick around. You deserve better. Don't be scared. Don't be so scared to do it. Just do it. And you don't need anyone's permission. You don't need your parents' permission. You don't need jerk-off's permission. You don't need anyone to tell you that you're good enough. Just go and do it.
So let's say we, as you mentioned, you know, keeping in touch, let's say we talk in like, yeah, let's say 5 years from now. And the first thing I ask you is, hey, what's been going on? What are you going to tell me that you're happy happened to you? What are you looking forward to?
Oh, I'm going to be talking all about market appeal and how much it's grown and how it's bringing people, like-minded people together. And it's not this noisy social media thing. It's actually really working and helping people and supporting people. And we're coming up with some amazing stories. You know, the magazine's doing really well. The podcast is amazing. And the community is filled with smart people who like to dive deep into topics and want to do better in their life and help other people as well.
Everyone out there has a perception of you, your family, your clients. Anybody that knows you has their separate version of who they think you are, but you're living your life. Who do you think you are?
I am a very smart, independent woman who has an insatiable need to create something beyond herself to succeed, and really just doesn't need anybody to do that. Beyond the community that I build, but I don't need to depend on anybody to do that.
Right. Well, Shannon, hey, thank you for taking the time out, opening up about your life. It's been wonderful. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, and we're definitely going to have to keep in touch.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another famous interview with Joe Domino, where we cover the world of art, literature, and music around the globe. Most music on these episodes comes from Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. You can see them on the Neon Jazz YouTube channel. And for everything Joe Domino related, go to JoeDomino.com, and there you can donate and keep the cause alive via PayPal or Patreon. Until next time.